We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sure to get on the Discord. Craigie got the answers all up and down. Strictly busy, don't play around. Cover all grounds, shares the knowledge that he found. Spags and daily are his forte. Each and every day, we all know Craig is great. He's got such a brilliant mind. Wow. He tried to prick his brain all the time. Wow, wow. I'm liking all these questions. No diggity for meat and barley hop. I'm liking all these questions. No diggity. It's time to wrap it up. What's up, everybody? 21 questions. I got to sing the song today. I got to replace Craig Stout today, and I was very excited to do it. Because I said we were going to... So here's the thing. We said we were going to do a duet. I told him I would do a duet with him the next time we do this show together. But then, like, logistically, we're just like... Actually, Craig and all his infinite wisdom and knowledge.
I already hate the way this is starting, by the way.
Yeah, because I literally got Craig into the intro song. But yeah, no, it's yeah, he pick each other up. I had like questions on the stream was what I wanted to go with. I would have done the Dolly part. It would have been fine.
I was gonna do the Dolly. We were both gonna do the Dolly part. You know what? Now I'm regretting. I don't care that there would have been a lag there. I would have done that.
We would have figured something out.
We would have figured it out. This is 21 questions, everybody. The subscriber podcast, where the subscribers ask us, KCSN hosts, questions, and we put it out for everybody to listen to. We are in the doldrums of the off season, but there's nobody that I'd rather be sharing this with than Kent, just if only to hear his dulcet tones. That was wonderful. So,
How was my first song doing this? Like, how was that? Like, was it all right?
I mean, you picked Blackstreet. It was great. It was awesome. Like, of course, I loved it. It was great. Love that song.
That's one of my jams, song, man.
Yeah.
Zach, the layman insider, is going to be disappointed because he asked if you can hit us with your best shot for an opening song, and well, I sang. I think he was asking for Craig, obviously, because, I mean, this is the first time I've done it. We'll get there in a second. Nick Deal asked a question. Shout out Nick Deal, by the way. I think he was, like, watching our draft coverage, like, at a ridiculous clip. So shout out to you, Nick. Thank you. If you had to guess who the six wide receivers to make the team are right now, who are you picking? Justin Ross is on the team.
Boy.
Yeah, no. Let's see here. We're going to go Marcus Valdes-Scantling. We're going to go Juju Smith-Schuster. We're going to go Mecole Hardman. We are going to go Sky Moore. So there's your four so far. I think we got Justin Ross into the mix. It sounds like Justin Watson's even like turning some heads right now, according to Patrick Holmes, if you listen to that. But I think I said this the last time I was on this show. I think the sixth is Marcus Kemp, who's not even on the roster right now. They're just going to call Marcus Kemp up in July. He's going to come play special teams for Spags. But yeah, that's not a joke. I genuinely think that Marcus Kemp will be a Chief by like July.
They can't get that many receivers into, you know, the lineup without having multiples of them playing special teams. And I mean, is Mecole Hardman going to be a gunner? Like, That's I don't think Andy even wants that. That's not it. That's not a slight against McColl's special teams ability. Like, Andy wants him healthy. He also doesn't want Sky getting hurt. Like, and right. Justin Ross isn't going to play special teams. So yeah, like, that spot needs to be a special teamer of some kind.
It's like, if Cornell Powell or Justin Watson, like, if one of those guys can kind of pull it together, like, I think they're, you know, those are some guys that, you know, maybe can, can stave off Marcus Kemp. Zach, the layman's insider. Craig, if you could get the whole lab gang plus Tucker to get up and do one karaoke song all the way through, what song would it be?
I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. Hands down. I don't even have to think about that one. Like, that's what it is. I think we would all do it wonderfully.
Oh, I bought in.
I almost went into the road, but I went, no, you know what? We're more of an I'll Make You Love to You kind of crowd than we are an Into the Road kind of crowd. So, yeah, Kit's going to take the lead as he is in this podcast as well. I will gladly sing back up. I'm just super excited to listen to Tucker and Maddie's harmonizing. Like, God, I think that's going to be my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Maddie sing. Actually, I mean, we hear Maddie sing from time to time. Like,
we do.
It's like a couple of times a year, and it's as expected.
great. Yes. No, that's what you mean, right?
It's
great.
Perfect.
Phenomenal.
He's a songbird that made. Z Tuttle 15. I know you guys did this a long time ago, but now we have all the amazing people of KC Sports Network. Can we get the office character comps, including Tucker, BJ, etc.? Okay. Craig? Okay. Wow, this is tough.
I think I was Dwight last time. I think we decided that we were Dwight.
But, like, okay, we'll go with Dwight. Tucker. I don't want to, like, Tucker's silly, and Tucker is, like, dry silly. So, like, Tucker's a smart, talented man, but Tucker is also got some serious Kevin vibes with, like, his dryness and his silliness and his humor. And so, like, I think there's a little bit of that. Like, even, like, some of his, like, wry, like, you know, like, Kevin giggles at, like, you know, 13-year-old jokes. Tucker giggles at 13-year-old jokes.
So do I, to be fair, as the oldest member. Just, but yes.
The wry smile, the same way Kevin has it, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. What was I last time?
Were you BJ? No, were you Ryan? I don't remember. I think we did Ryan because the hair, like, we were on a big hair kick last time.
That was the only bit we had. I feel like I could be an Andy Bernard, just like,
oh, very, yeah,
kind of like, you know, like, I kind of up and down between obnoxious and
plus you went to Cornell. I mean, it's it fits. It definitely fits.
BJ, what is BJ? That's a tough one.
It's a really tough one. I mean, he's kind of the fearless leader and all that, but I wouldn't say he's Michael Scott. Like, he's not inept. So
no. <it's> not...
It kind of falls apart after
he's
that.
Kind of, like, okay, BJ is, like, a phenomenal, like, you know how Robert California kept continually rising and ascending? You know, through the show, like, he winds up, like, talking people out of their own jobs. We'll go. Let's give BJ Robert California. It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Maddie.
I think we did Jim, and he threw a fit about it.
He
which
did.
Makes
he got,
it probably,
he called him the worst character.
Yeah.
I would say, like,
he could be Roy.
No. Wait, he's not here. We can make him anything we want.
Yeah, we can.
He's Meredith. Moving on. Andy Nagel with so many defense changes. Who is the leader of that defense now, Craig?
I mean, we saw it today. Justin Reed was the first defensive guy to really get up there on the podium. That's good to see. I mean, you know, he's kind of taken over a very important role on this defense. So it's good to see that Justin Reed was that first guy up there. But as I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier this week, I think Nick Bolton is going to get a lot of those reps. I think he's going to be that guy that's going to get a lot of podium reps. I think it is going to be between you know, Justin Reed and Nick Bolton for most of the year. Typically, they have two defensive guys. You know, Chris Jones is going to get plenty of run because Chris Jones is a fantastic podium guy, but they don't typically put him in some of those early in the week leadership ones. They more put him in the hype ones at the end of the week. And then Frank Clark didn't get as many podiums last year. And, you know, he's not at OTAs right now. So those would really be the only two other guys that I could see getting those. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Nick, and I think it's going to be Justin Reed.
Andy also asks, what player from this draft do you think has the size and who has the highest floor? Give me, for the highest inning, I'm actually going to go George Karlaftis. I still think there's a lot, you know, like, bet on the motor, bet on the, you know, physical profile, the linear physical profile, and hope that maybe a little bit of the, you know, he looked slim. Like, we just saw some of the pictures of him, and Craig, you did an outstanding job talking about 2019 George Karlaftis. And I remember sometime in March, we were looking and Maddie said, hey, check out Karlaftis in 19. Different dude, like movement skills and stuff. So, you know, there is some ceiling there to him. Highest floor, I think it's probably Trent McDuffie, like, just because of the talent. Like, I know, like, some people are going to talk about, like, fire of the arm, length, and all that stuff. But, like, I just have a hard time seeing that guy fail. I think, yeah, wow, weird. I'm using the first, you know, the two first-round picks for ceiling.
Hey, wait, can I throw one in here for high
Go
ceiling?
Go for it. Go for
I'm going to throw it in. It's a guy that we haven't talked about much, Nazé Johnson. Do you guys know that Nazé Johnson is a tier one CBAT if he would have tested like a cornerback? That gives him a ridiculously high ceiling. Now, he has a lot to work through. I mean, he's a little bit stiff, plays with a little bit of an uneven balance. He's still really learning how to read things, how to use his feet, all of that stuff. But that's all technique stuff other than the stiffness. That explosion and that speed matters. If they can click the rest of it in, he's got the football character, and I mean, he's certainly in a room with a whole bunch of dudes with football character, so that'll happen quickly. If you can put that all together, the athletic profile is such that you can look at it and go, oh damn, that guy could be a little bit of something there. So I like the swing that they took on him. Really super athletic, so that gives him a really high ceiling.
Drew Clark asks, what's your favorite summer vacation spot? I think I know yours, but I want to.
Yeah,
it's
Colorado. It's in the Rocky Mountain National Park. We go there every year for like a week. We hike. I got one coming up here. Used to camp all the time, and then we had kids, and then we were like, you know what? Camping with two little kids, not as fun as it was. So we'll go back to it eventually. But yeah, it's hiking in Colorado.
I love being, I love going on a cruise ship. I love, like, I don't know why I sleep super well. I'm the planner in our, like, travel stuff, you know, for our family and just period. I like, you know, planning travel
for us too.
I do that for, I do that, like, whenever we would go to, we would go to Mobile, I would take care of everything. And BJ named me the director of travel for Casey's. One point but yeah, you don't have to plan as much. You just kind of get on a boat and chill, and I like that. Brandon W asks, favorite vacation memory. Do you have one off the top, Craig? I have one.
No, I definitely do. Going to Acadia National Park in Maine for my wife and I's 10th anniversary a few years back, and it was really nice because, like, we were completely off the grid and it was very quiet, and we got to just hang out outside and read books, and nobody could get a hold of us, and we ate lots of lobster and great food, and just, it was awesome. And I really want to get back up there again, and then this time I'll stop by and I'll see our good buddy Mike while we're up there. KCSN's Mike DeVito. Get to stop and say hi to him when I'm up there.
There you go. So I did last year a staycation. So, like, we have a second child. I have two kids. I have a just finished kindergartner. I'm going to not cry now. And a nearly 1-year-old. And so last year, early May, and it was kind of like our last hurrah with our oldest, where we just kind of, we did whatever he wanted to do. Whatever he wanted to do, we just did. So we went to Top Golf, we went to Great Wolf Lodge, we had pizza shuttle, we went to Main Event and played video games. We just did all kinds of stuff, and like Royals game. And so we just spent like 3 days just kind of, it was just the coolest thing ever. And it also just happened to be the same little 3 day window announced KC Sports Network. And so like going through all of this and like all these emotions, like having another kid and getting to see my kid have the best time of his life. And then KC Sports Network and all the love y'all showed when we announced that, like, come on, it was great. Mm-hmm. Leighton Y 44. Since we all know how tall Craig is, Craig, can you dunk?
Yes, I can. I have long arms as well. So like I can stand just barely on my tiptoes and grab the net without leaving the ground. So yeah, the distance I have to jump is about that far. And I also was a high jumper, you know, back in school. I could high jump 6'6". So I could throw my hips pretty high in the air. Yes, I could definitely dunk.
I'm scared for you to try at this point in your life. This is a little bit of an old joke, but honestly, it's like a little bit serious. Just like what I'm kind of worried. Fun fact.
When I return to Earth, I would break my knees.
Return to Earth from Mars?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just making. Yeah. Just so you know, like a little behind the scenes. Craig, Maddie, and I, and actually, we talk so much smack about our basketball abilities. Like, we all think we can just beat each other up in basketball. Mm-hmm. It's like a very real, visceral, the one time a year it comes out. There's two very aggressive conversations that come out when we make fun of Bearcat about patty melts, because they're just cheeseburgers, and when we start talking about basketball. Zach's Minarek, over under on highlights hit sticks by the rookies in the preseason. Does Leo or Cook have the harder hit? Does Leo or Cook have the harder hit?
Does Leo or Cook have the harder hit? I'm gonna go with Leo. I feel like Brian Cook isn't going to play as much in the preseason. Does that make sense? Like, we're going to see him come out of the game a little earlier. I think we're gonna see him rotate with like the first and the second team. And I think Leo is going to get a bunch of backup mic reps. Like, I think he's going to be playing throughout the rest of the game for a lot of these games. So he's going to have more opportunities closer to the ball. Like, he's going to be laying the wood for like three quarters every preseason game. It's going to be great.
Casey from KC asks, Steve Spagnuolo, are we overlooking him as a potential successor to Andy? I don't think so. I think two things going against him. One, he's old. He's an older guy. He's already in his 60s. I don't think the Chiefs would hand the reins over to him. Two, he's a defensive guy. I think the next coach of this team will be another offensive mind to pair with Patrick Mahomes and have a battery of those two together, working in cohesion. I just don't see this team going with a defensive-minded guy. I think they're always going to be offensive first with him as far as who will be leading this team. Brad C. asks, the chances that Rojo makes the team given his pass blocking and receiving deficiencies. We know Andy isn't going to run on first and second down. His running ability isn't worth getting a quarterback one injured.
I mean, I totally agree with the end of that sentiment. I really do. And I mean, his pass blocking to date in the NFL has been poor, like very, very poor. So yeah, no, that's always been my concern with that move. It's like, you telegraph it a little bit, he's either got to go on a route or you're running the ball, because you don't want him in pass blocking. It just doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for you. So I do think that he's still going to make the team, though. Like, they didn't bring in enough other bodies to really compete with him. I think he's going to get plenty of run as a fairly explosive guy. You know, he really is. And some of the style of runs that Andy likes to lean on, and they're built to run, he fits really well into. So even if there are some more obvious running tendencies, I can see Rojo being around for like the third quarter with the Chiefs protecting the lead. Put him in the game, run the ball. Like, I mean, I can still see a usage for him.
I think he's a lock to make this roster. And the Chiefs contract, I think, kind of shows that, like, there's a little bit of scare this year. So yeah, I think he's a lock. Cup of Cheddar asks, would you rather have a 100% healthy Justin Ross or Jameson Williams heading into the season? still think it's Jameson Williams. And like, obviously, like, I'm excited about Justin Ross. It seems like the Chiefs are excited about Justin Ross. The players are excited about Justin Ross. Everybody's excited about Justin Ross. The freshman version gets drafted in the first round, and that's even as a freshman. He was just very, very good. Jameson Williams, the best receiver in this class. And the health, I think, probably, you know, kind of, you know, still, he still went in the first round very comfortably. Jameson Williams for me. I don't know if you feel any differently, Craig.
No, not at all. Now, I will say this. If Cup of Cheddar, just in case that he's meaning the freshman version of Justin Ross, the 100% healthy freshman version of Justin Ross, man,
it's close.
That's very close. I'll tell you what. In that instance, I'm taking a coin and I'm flipping it and I'm winning either way, because both of those guys are elite top shelf receivers. It's just Justin Ross, I don't think will ever be back to that. So even if he's 100% healthy in his current form, I just don't think he's getting to that. But if you're referring to freshman version,
that's a debate.
I think I'd take Justin Ross in that equation just because he's got X body type.
Yeah.
I think it fits better with what the Chiefs currently have on their roster.
That's fair. DSM Derek, there is something that really pumps me up about college football is the marching band playing between plays and drives. Do you think the NFL should bring something similar to games?
I mean, I think you're talking to a soccer fan here. So yes, I absolutely think that the NFL should bring more of that interactive atmosphere, more of that, you know. Listen, we all love being at Arrowhead. We love how loud Arrowhead can get. We love the yelling, the screaming, everything like that. There is something that's just that much more intimidating about the organization of it. You know, singing along, the drums, all of that element. It's intense. And it really does kind of drive it home in a completely different, and in my opinion, more intimidating way. So I have always condoned that. I got a lot of people that are big football fans that aren't big soccer fans that have gone to Sporting KC games and walked away from that and going, man, I wish that we could get Arrowhead to do this, because that would be insane. You know, so I think that doing more of that type of stuff, embracing more of that type of atmosphere, would be amazing.
I know, like, NFL's kind of strict on some of the noise stuff in between plays.
They suck.
They do. I remember when the Chiefs had a full band that would play, like, in between plays, like, right leading up to, like, breaking the huddle. And it was awesome. That's one of my memories as a child. Corey Peter, favorite video game of all time, Craig? I want to
you go first. Okay. You go first, because my list is long.
I played NCAA football 2008 until it broke on my PlayStation 2. And I played it like years, because I loved dynasty mode and I loved building a college football dynasty. I would build like Mid-America Nazarene where I played, or I would build some random college and I would just play that ad nauseum. Craig's answer is going to be significantly more interesting than mine, because he has a much more diverse video game kind of like taste than I do. But let's go.
I'll own that. I will. That's one of the few things. I will. I play a lot of video games. If we're sticking with sports, like NBA Street Volume 2 is always going to be. I could still pick up and play that game right now. Like, I got lots of love for like old Tecmo Super Bowl and things like that. Played a lot of that when I was younger, but man,
Volume NBA Street. Dope.
Oh, Volume 2 is amazing. You know, I love everything that Supergiant puts out. Like, Bastion and Transistor are two of my favorite games, but Pyre is amazing. Pyre is like NBA Jam with an RPG element on top of it. It's incredible. And then Hades just came out last, you know, 2 years ago, and it's incredible. Love all the Zeldas, Link to the Past, Breath of the Wild. You know, my son
plays Breath of the Wild.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. My daughter does too. Like, it's great. Love them. So just a little smattering there of some of my favorites. I could seriously probably do 4 hours on video games. So we're not going to do that.
You know what else is great?
I'm not going to say it. not.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
No Chicken Tonight asks, what former chief would you most like to see come back and coach? I know Craig's answer.
Yeah, you do. DJ, Derek Johnson. I mean, of course. Like, how awesome would that be if DJ were to come back and coach linebackers? He wants to do it eventually when his kids grow up, obviously. I asked him about that when Matt House left. And, I mean, how cool would it be for us to know a Chiefs coach? Like, that would be awesome. Like, even more awesome than just knowing DJ is.
Craig's best friend, Derek Johnson. Alex Smith. I'd love to see him back in some capacity. That'd be fun. The big institution's biggest fan. Since Maddie won't be on 21 questions, what's the answer to you dunk a basketball? No, Maddie cannot dunk a basketball.
On a 9-foot goal.
He will claim that, he'll like claim he Maddie can. Answer. Maddie will super claim he can. Just like, you know, like, and then he'll get knocked down in the draft game that we played earlier this week. And then we'll have to knock the rim down a peg for him to actually be able to dunk. Kay Gumminger asked, what's your favorite thing about each other that we would never guess? Ooh, okay. I have one. I thought about this question a little bit, Craig.
Okay.
Craig, you know, like the sweetest human on the planet, right? And like, I think his disposition and everything, he takes everything wonderfully in stride and just humble and kind. There is a fierceness to his loyalty to the people he loves that like you don't want to cross him. And like there's a line and like there's a fierceness to that loyalty. And if you cross it, you're in trouble. So like I love that so much about him. It's just like it is one of his like, you know, it's part of the reason you love him. It's just there's this fierceness to his loyalty that people don't realize. And it's great. So
now you're going to have people out here like clattering on the cage to see how far they can take it before they unleash it. That could be fun. No, favorite thing about Kent that I would never guess. I'm very vocal about all of my love for Kent. Like Kent is genuinely one of the nicest human beings in the world. Like he is always the first one to reach out and ask. He's always the first one to check on how things are going. Like that was one of the first things that he said to my wife and I when we were together this past weekend at the, you know, Boys and Girls Club thing. He turned to my wife and I and he said, hey, is Craig doing okay? To which we promptly responded with no, but no, everything's fine. But I mean, like he cares so much about his friends. He cares so much about them. You know, it's in the forefront. I know I've said it before, but it shines through. That's part of the reason why we all get together, you know, get along so well is because we do genuinely care about each other, but Kent just really takes it that next level.
Yeah, I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
It's crazy, man. It's not hard for us to do what we do because we love each other. Like, we genuinely love each other. It's Maddie too. I guess.
No.
I think that's, we just love each other a lot. And it's hard not to, like, we talk a lot. Like, we obviously, like, our day jobs are a little crazy right now, but like, we talk a lot, you know, behind the scenes. We are all in each other's business very frequently. Do you want to do anything? Maddie has a bigger heart than people realize. I'll just say something nice about Maddie, because like, Maddie has a way bigger heart than he puts off, and I'm not gonna get into their, you know, his family's business, but Maddie's a hero. Like, he's an absolute hero. And I won't say anything, but like, that man, his heart, you guys have no clue. Like, I know, like, and he's kind of quiet and stuff, and like, you know, he doesn't like people in his business and all that stuff, but that dude is an absolute hero. Just trust me when I say, like, that dude, biggest heart you're ever gonna see.
Here's the other thing. All this shit that these guys give me about all these different things that I do, Matt does like four times what I do. So that's the thing that you would never guess. Based on the interactions that we have on this podcast, you would never guess. Like, again, talking about this past weekend, we had Scott, the guy who's, you know, one of the voice behind KCSN a little bit, one of our producers. He was asking a little bit. It was like, so is Matt really a farmer? It was like, buddy, let me tell you everything that Matt does. And it's such a long list. Like, these guys give me so much crap about doing everything. Matty does so damn much. He's such a diverse guy. We met him, and he was building gym equipment, designing gym equipment. And then he just one day was like, by the way, I've never done this before, but I'm going to raise livestock. And we're like, buddy, and now he's got like a giant fully functioning farm and all that. The man is ridiculous. So
yeah, he's great, but Craig is,
stop.
I'm just, you know, it's never gonna go away, ever. Like, you know that. I hope you know that. Trent Millsap, give me your boldest of bold takes on the Chiefs season that you actually believe in but haven't said. I have one.
Go for it.
Rant Swanson might count. Patrick LeVon Mahomes is winning the MVP, and the Chiefs are going to have a better record than they did last year, and they're going to be the one seed, and we're all going to laugh at the AFC West. All of this arms race, all this effort, and it's not going to mean anything. Patrick LeVon Mahomes is going to remind everybody that he's the secret sauce, that there's a gap between him and the second best quarterback in this class. Justin Herbert can't hold a candle to him, even though he's a great player. That's just speaking to Michael freaking Jordan that the Chiefs have. I'm telling you, the quiet confidence that's going to come out of this football team, you're going to get hit with the tidal wave of shock at how good this team is, because this team is more pissed off and motivated than anything you've seen since they won the Super Bowl. And honestly, in some ways, you kind of needed that a little bit. This team is going ham. You're going to be surprised. Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP. He's probably deserved it to win it one or two extra times already, but now he's going to win it because the narrative's good enough for him to go off, because he lost Tyreek Hill, and it's not going to matter because he's going to go nuts. How about that?
I love it. I love it. I'll stick to the defensive side of the ball.
Boo.
Boldest of bold take about the defensive side of the ball is that the pass rush isn't going to be better, and it doesn't freaking matter because the defense will. It will. The entire defense is going to be better. Like, we're going to be watching the four-man pass rush, and we're going to spend a lot of this time just going, man, they're not getting home again. And it's going to be largely the same group of people that we saw last year, plus George Karloftis, who are going to get maybe a few more hustle sacks and things like that. But it's not going to matter. They're going to do such a better job of taking away things in the secondary and being more assignment sound and using the athletic gifts that they have, not being so rigid with some of their coverages. And they're going to give quarterbacks so much to think about that they're going to have to check down a lot. They're going to have to scramble a lot. You're going to see a lot more taking the little stuff, and they're not going to convert as much. The Chiefs are going to be significantly better against the run this year because they just are. They're going to tackle this year rather than missing tackles. And so you're going to see more advantageous positions that they're in, and more inaccurate passes, more settling for things short of the sticks. And you're going to see a much better third down rate. You're going to see him get off the field more, and we're going to be looking back at it and go, well, they didn't get to the passer. They didn't get home. They didn't get sacks, and it's not going to matter. The defense will be better overall. They're going to allow less points, less yards than they did last year, while still not really improving in the sack department.
To make sure this comes around to where it should, the offense, I really genuinely think, like, there is something to be said about sound defense, being able to stop the run, being sure tacklers when you have Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the ball.
Oh my God, yes.
Maybe the pass rush isn't what you want, but the pressure that the Chiefs put on teams because of who their offense is and the guys that are able to kind of just make the routine plays and be consistent, there's a lot of value in that. May not be the flashiest formula, but I think it, I wouldn't
be
stunned.
Look at it this way. Look at the Colts. Like, let's look at, like, the Colts defense, just playing assignment sound football all game long, forcing mistakes, forcing errors. You don't look at them and go, boy, they did a really great job of getting after the passer. You know, they kind of do it by committee a little bit. And, you know, they're not at the top. They're just going to win that way. They just don't have the offense that the Chiefs are going to have.
And they gave themselves some interesting swings on the back seven. The Chiefs did. And I think that's an interesting factor in all this. Rugby Fox, what would be the biggest surprise of the NFL season? Could be a dark horse contender, breakout player, etc. I've got one. I don't know if you have one yet. If you have one, go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. Baltimore Ravens aren't as good as we're all making them out to be. That'll be the biggest surprise.
Let's go.
Listen, I think the Baltimore Ravens were a pretty decent little football team last year, despite going through, like, crazy injury attrition. Like, they are a playoff team last year. Don't get me wrong. They should have been a playoff team last year. But we're now to the point where, like, we're expecting the Baltimore Ravens to be in the one seed spot this next year. And they lost Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale was one of those guys, as we've heard stories coming out of the Chiefs. You know, we know enough people that have been around the team, that have been around, you know, some of those guys to get quotes and things like that, beat reporters and stuff. And we've heard, you know, as you're leading up to these Ravens games, it's like, man, I just don't want to play Wink. Like, I don't. Like, he throws the whole damn kitchen sink at you. He's so hard to prepare for. So it doesn't matter what happens on defense. They could still be good, but it's not going to be the same. Teams are going to be able to prepare completely different. So that defense is going to still suffer without Wink Martindale. And so it's going to be put on the offense, and I'm not sure that they're a good enough offense to really carry that team to the one seed. May still be a playoff team. I'm not saying that, but I don't think they're going to be as good as everybody's making them out to be.
The Washington Commanders are making the playoffs next year. And don't mistake me for a Carson Wentz fan, Stan. I don't have a strong belief in Carson Wentz. I have a strong belief in the defense that they've put over there and Ron Rivera. And I don't think Carson Wentz is a bad quarterback. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. But I think he's better than anything that they've trotted out in recent memory. And I think he's a guy that can play to a level. And honestly, there's going to be some ceiling to Carson Wentz. There always is going to be, because we've seen him play at a high level. And if he ever gets out of his own way, there's a lot to like about what he does on the football field. He doesn't have to reach that potential even for this team to make the playoffs. They're in the NFC. They have a really good defense. They have Terry McLaurin. I think this team's making the playoffs in 2022. Let's see here. Newton Hawk, if you could be any animal in the world, what would you be, and why is it the Peregrine Falcon?
It's not the Peregrine Falcon. It's a binturong. The binturong is one of the laziest animals in the world. All it does is eat. It sleeps most of the day, and it smells like popcorn. It is an awesome animal, and everybody should want to be that.
How do you spell
binturong? Binturong. I'm not sure if there's
this thing,
the first O there.
Oh my.
Yeah.
This thing is terrifying.
It's absolutely terrifying.
It sounds like something like I wouldn't want to run into on looks, but if I ran into it, it wouldn't do anything.
No, it's a very sleepy animal.
I'm Googling it right now, and this thing is undoubtedly. B-I-N-T-U-R-O-N-G for those that want to Google it at some point. This is, oh yeah, this is an extremely lazy cat dog. I want to be one of Maddie's Muscovies. Just to hang out with Matt.
You're gonna be in my belly, man.
So I get to hang out with Matt. I'm gonna hang out with both of you at some point. Grayson Jaspers, last question. Who will be this year's Yasir Durant, DeAndre Washington trade?
That's tough.
I'm not gonna put a name to it. I think it's coming out of the receiver group. I think, you know, if you listen to Patrick Mahomes today, he talked a lot about some of the guys that are had a lot of nice things to say about Justin Watson. And he's made the comment of, hey, a lot of these guys are going to make football teams here or somewhere else. And so, you know, if that's true, and like, I do think one of these spots is going to be held for special teams. Like, I think, you know, Cornell Powell is a real path to making this roster, because I do think he's got some special teams juice. But maybe a Justin Watson gets traded, for something, you know, relatively insignificant like Yasir Durant. But like Yasir Durant did. I think it could be from the receiver group.
I could see that. I could also see it coming from the cornerback group. I mean, honestly, they've given so much depth to the secondary. I can see a young player shining, a la like Charvarius Ward when he did, you know, in Dallas. And then all of a sudden the Cowboys went, well, we're pretty good in the secondary. We need some help. Let's trade off one of these young guys. I could see that happening with the Chiefs. So,
I mean, if you look at this, DeAndre Baker.
Yeah.
DiCaprio.
I don't know. Again, we're talking like seventh rounders here. Like,
I think that's the premise. Yeah. Like, you know, the Yasir Durant, DeAndre Washington trades were low, late day three picks. I'm looking at, cornerback, you Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, Lonnie Johnson, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson. Mm-hmm. That's seven guys. DiCaprio Boodle, that's eight.
Not all those guys are making the team. Yeah.
Right. No, there's no chance. Six of them. I mean, yeah. DiCaprio Boodle is probably not making the team.
Probably not. If Nazaia Johnson plays well, I think they're going to be competing for a spot. We can get into that later.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at the safety spot. I mean, you look at the safety mm-hmm. spot too. Like, there's a lot of competition with a lot of young guys, and that's not a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go young, go add volume and competition. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. have absolutely done that. And cream will rise to the top. Iron sharpens iron. Cliche. But I mean, they've given themselves a lot of guys, you know? They've given themselves a lot of guys. So, yeah, I think that's a good one, too. I think you had the better answer. Because you always do. Craig is great. That'll do it for 21 questions. No,
before you go, Maddie is not here to interrupt you. I have a couple more questions that I would like to pose that were sent along.
Okay. You have some from you have some from earlier? Okay, go for it.
Maybe a little bit earlier. I like this one right here. Zach the Layman's Insider asks, what is your happiest starting five skill position players and your most depressing five skill position players? Bring realistic historical Reed Bieniemy tendency. Obviously, you know, he's not going to do like 10 personnel all the time. So don't try and go that way.
Happiest. Ooh, this is happiest would be Clyde, Juju, Marquez, Travis. That's my happiest. I'm sorry, McColl. But that's
only four. You get to add one more.
No, I said no. I do the math again. Clyde, Juju. Clyde. Juju. Marquez. Sky.
Oh, I don't think you said Sky. I think you implied Sky.
I think I said Sky. We're going to have to check the tapes. I'm going to check the tapes tomorrow. Sky and Travis. I'm sorry, McColl.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
My favorite? Justin Ross. and MVS on the outside, Juju in the slot, Travis, and let's go Pacheeks just to be different. No slide against Sky there. This guy's going to rotate in plenty, but I think that gives him the most size and physicality, and I would just love that.
Least favorite?
I've got my realistic one.
realistic least favorite is like Rojo, Josh Gordon, McCole. Sorry, McCole. Catching the strays. Kelsey, like, there's no, like, is there a realistic least favorite where Kelsey's like not? I mean, you know, you still have to put him in there. Do you, don't you? Like, okay, Blake Bell. Mm-hmm. And realistic Marquez.
Okay. My realistic five skill position players on offense would be, let's see, Rojo, Blake Bell, Jody Fortson, Noah Gray, and Mike Burton in 23 personnel.
Oh my God.
It's my least favorite.
Fair.
I know what's going to happen on that play. How about that? I know what's going to happen
It's fourth and one, and Mike Burton's
getting the ball.
He's lined up. He's lined up offset, and Mahomes is going to reverse pit and give him that little trap play, and they're going to run behind Trey Smith. Yeah.
Yep. And they're
You have some more questions?
Yeah. One more.
I'm tapped now. So let's go.
Jay the Fan One. I love this one. One player from each AFC West opponent that you think Chiefs fans as a whole underrate. Let's not do each opponent, just one player from the AFC West that you think Chiefs fans as a whole underrate. I've got one.
Go
if you want.
Go off the top.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is extremely underrated by Chiefs fans. Now, I know exactly why. He plays like dog shit against the Chiefs. I've seen him play terribly so many times, but Derek Carr is now in that point where we as Chiefs fans kind of look at him amongst the rest of the AFC West quarterbacks, and we just are like, yeah, no, he sucks. He's at the bottom. He absolutely is at the bottom of this group of guys. And yet there are probably conservatively 20 teams in the NFL that would be glad to have Derek Carr as their starting quarterback. Like, he is still well up there on the charts. And I think that because we've seen him actively turn the ball over, you know, kind of crap some games away and just generally not play well enough times in his career, we have now kind of gotten to the point where we just think he's always like that, and he's definitely not always like that.
Agreed. That being said, Derek Carr sucks.
See?
I don't know if we fully appreciate Mike Williams.
Oh, we definitely don't.
I don't know if we fully appreciate Mike Williams as Chiefs fans. I think that's another one. Like, and he's a guy that has given the Chiefs problems with his length and size and physicality on the outside. And Justin Herbert's been willing to throw some balls outside, give him some opportunities. And, you know, he's made him pay. I'm looking, he had 122 yards against the Chiefs the first time. They kept him the three catches and 40 yards the second time, but they really were trying to take him away. Mm-hmm. First time he won in that game in a lot of ways, because he was a difference maker. Had two touchdowns that game. Mike Williams kind of becomes an afterthought a little bit. I think Keenan Allen gets a lot of shine. Mike Williams is a very good player, and I mean, he's kind of a problem for the Chiefs. So they have a lot more length this year. So
true.
Trent McDuffie probably might not have, you know, great.
I'll tell you what. How about we don't get Trent McDuffie matched up against Mike Williams? Let's just go ahead and forward that one on to Steve Spagnuolo right now and say, hey, buddy, that's a bad idea. Let's try not to do that.
And Joe Lombardi won't be able to figure that one out either. That's going to do it for 21 questions. Thank you so much for all of your wonderful questions. Make sure to subscribe to the KCSN Substack if you want to ask questions on this show. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun doing it, especially with Craig Stout. Craig is great. We'll catch you later.